I think the idea that weather modification now is so apparent throughout the world, it's just a startling reality that there's enough stuff. You can go in weather warfare, weather modification, Google it, search for it on Yahoo, and you're going to be surprised that there are literally millions and millions of references to weather modification.
Well, and there's no doubt, Stephen, that we know that governments are playing with it, practicing with it. Some of them are very verbal about it, saying, hey, don't worry, we're going to have an event, but it's not going to rain because we're going to take care of the weather. They just come right out and say that now.
Well, they do, and if you look at some of the weather Air Force documents that have been released and pulled off the internet. Fortunately, people have made copies of them, and I produce them all and reproduce them all in my book. The thing that's fascinating is that everything that we're talking about, whether it's hurricane generation, steering tornadoes, generating areas of at just intense rainfall in other areas, keeping a standing front from producing any rain, i.e. like what's going on in the southeastern United States, we've got the whole basis now laid out for weather warfare. Zygmunt Brzezinski, the National Security Advisor under Jimmy Carter, basically said that weather warfare becomes secret warfare, where one nation can make war on another nation and blame it just on the environment. And that's what's going on. I believe, like Scott Stevens has said, George, that all weather now is manipulated. The days of natural, predictable weather are being totally distorted, destroyed. And I can tell you that the billions and billions of dollars that have gone into weather warfare, weather modification, all the different treaties from the United Nations treaties, the Operation Popeye, where we first started using it in North Vietnam on the Ho Chi Minh Trail, actually with 2,400 missions to cause it to rain. We have a history of manipulating the weather. We have a history of manipulating the ionosphere. And as we get into the technology, as we go through the show tonight, it's not just HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project that Nick Bagich has written about. It's the intense taking off from even that of the manipulation of the entire climatological model of the Earth. I came up with a statement, and Ansel Rothschild made a statement once about banking. He said, give me control of a nation's money, and I care not who writes its laws. I think the governments of the world are saying, give me control of the world's weather, and I care not what the weapons and their armies do. So the point is that this is one of the most intense fields of manipulation, study, and funding that's out there. And there's no longer what I would call the syrupy denials. It's in our face. We're seeing the results. We're seeing hurricanes being steered. We're seeing hurricanes being actually generated and brought over the same geographical coordinates, i.e. in Florida. We're seeing typhoons. We're seeing counter-rotation. We're seeing every form of abnormal weather that you can imagine.
Stephen, let's go back really to almost the beginning of time. Was there weather manipulation then?
Well, I actually believe there was, from the standpoint that it's my contention, as you know, George, the times we've spoken on your show, that the ancients had technology that is absolutely incredible and phenomenal. And it's also my contention that the armies of the world are vying for that ancient technology, and that they're the good guys and the bad guys. The good guys want to keep the potential destruction away from the bad guys. And there are people who absolutely are not going to be content until, I believe, they've destroyed 9/10 of the world's population.
You think that's the whole motive for all of this?
I do. You know, it's fascinating because the Illuminati, the Luciferians, the entire global elite has this really egalitarian attitude that everybody should basically be off the planet but them. The United Nations, which sounds all cordially warm and fuzzy, has got some pretty dastardly plans. And I would tell you quite candidly that the whole idea of weather modification is you can control populations, i.e. you control the weather, you can control the growing season. You can control, obviously, areas that are if you want to take over an area, you can drive people out just simply because there's no water, there's no rainfall, and then you can bring back, quote, the normal weather or steer rainfall into that area, and basically you've just acquired a lot of real estate very, very inexpensively.
Now, tell me if the weather modification started off in a humanitarian way.
Yeah, initially it did. The U.S. military, even back in 1947, came up with a project called Project Cirrus. But they dumped about 160 pounds worth of dry ice into a hurricane. The bottom line was they were trying to dissipate the hurricane, but unfortunately it caused feedback, like my opening statement, in quoting the ocean geochemist, is that you, when you start messing around with the weather, you're likely to get an outcome you didn't even expect. And through Operation Cirrus, Project Cirrus, they had such flooding in Atlanta, Georgia, even people lost their lives, that they had to cover up that whole operation and kind of make it go away. Now, that was in 1947. Then we had, and I just want to give the timeline because I think it's important for people to find this. Project 119L was U.S. Air Force trying to literally figure out all the different weather patterns of the world. And what they did was kind of a fascinating thing, which we'll get to when we talk about what's going on in the Arctic, is that under Project 119L, it was recommended that basically they drop a lamp black in the atmosphere, and they literally thought that that would absorb the heat and could direct the energy inherent in any storm. They later settled for silver nitrate. And then we get into, you know, 1966, which I mentioned, Project Popeye. That was a cloud seeding on the Ho Chi Minh Trail, which, by the way, was incredibly top secret until Jack Anderson saw something referring to it in a Senate appropriations bill and brought it forth. Then in 1977, we had an environmental modification technique treaty called NMOD. 2002, the Weather Damage Modification Program. And I think what most people have got to understand, and this is what I'm trying to get across, is that the absolute paper trail leading up to the development of weather modification and the initial purpose versus now what is almost all for warfare is so detailed. In 2005, Senate Bill 517, which was authored by Kay Bailey Hutchinson of Texas, said it was called the Weather Modification Research and Technology Transfer Authorization Act. Now, when you start getting treaties and you start getting appropriations and you start getting all this stuff that's out there, it's reasonable to assume that you don't have treaties if the technology doesn't exist and doesn't have a potential to not only hopefully be able to do good. See, I maintain that they could use it for good, but obviously they're not, because the order out of chaos, ordo ad chaos, is the order of the day, literally, and that's to cause the old world to flee away and this new, what I would call technologically decadent utopia to come into being.